We now begin the third perek of Maseches Bava Basra. This is known as Chezkas HaBatim, this chapter. And this chapter 3 is talking about the principle of Chazaka. Now, Chazaka is a word that's kind of tricky to translate. In truth, in general, I like to translate Chazaka as status quo. But for our purposes right here, certainly the first part of the perek, I think the best translation to work with for Chazaka is going to be presumptive ownership. By which I mean, if you go into Beis Din and there are two people there and they're fighting over who owns a pen, so the rule is that hamotzi machavero alav haraya, if you want to take the pen from your friend, so you need to bring proof that it's yours, which means that there's someone right now who is the presumptive owner, who's presumed to be the owner of the pen. The presumptive owner is called the muchzak, and presumptive ownership is called chazaka. Now, who is the muchzak in the pen, who is presumed to own it? That's the person who's holding the pen now. Because he'll say, listen, this is my pen, and the proof is I'm holding it. And if it's your pen, what in the world is it doing in my hands? Okay? And then the person who's challenging and wants to get the pen out of his hands will have to say, oh, the reason that you have my pen in your hands is because you stole it, and the proof is I have two witnesses that you took it, or something like that. So he'll have to bring proof, Araya, that it's a stolen pen. But until he brings proof, the chazaka, the presumption of ownership, is that whoever is holding the pen is the rightful owner of the pen. Okay, and that's how halacha works in general. But the rules are a little different when it comes to, or a lot different, when it comes to real assets, real estate, unmovable property. So, you know, you have a farm, and there's no such thing as holding a farm. They're just being machzik, living on the farm and doing your farming thing on the farm. And if two people go to Beis Din and they say, listen, it's my farm. No, it's my farm. So the Beis Din can't say, well, who's currently holding the farm? There is, of course, someone who's machzik, who's currently sitting in the farm, being the farmer. But the other person, we'll call him for a moment the marakama, the previous owner. That's a good word to know. Marakama literally means the first owner, the previous owner. That means someone who we know for a fact at one point was the confirmed established owner of this farm. So the marakama can say, listen, it's my farm, you're just squatting in it. And the current machzik, the current tenant, the current farmer, can't respond and say, well, if it's your farm, what's it doing under my feet? The answer is, yeah, your feet just walked on in and squatted into my farm. But just because you're holding it by physically taking possession, machzik, the farm, that doesn't make it yours, doesn't indicate it's yours, because you could just move on in and squat in my farm when I'm not around. So the rule, therefore, is that the presumptive owner of a field, or any piece of real estate for that matter, is the original owner, if someone else says, no, it's now mine, the machzik, who's currently there, he's expected to bring a proof. What the proof he's expected to bring? So it'll be the deed of purchase, the deed, the thing which shows, the piece of paper, the contract which shows that he bought this land. So that's what he's expected to present. And if he can't present it, then the Beis Din will say, listen, are you joking? You're just squatting on that field. If it's really yours, where's the proof? Where's your bill of purchase, your deed? Because everyone has a deed. Now, therefore, the Beis Din would say that the muchzak, the presumptive owner, is the marakama, the original owner, and not the machzik, the current tenor, who we're looking at now as being a squatter. Now, that only can go on for so long, however. At some point, you know, we'll say to the machzik, the current tenant, we'll say, listen, where's your deed of purchase that you got? It shows that you purchased this farm from the marakama, the original owner. He'll say, what are you talking about? That was years ago. I've lost it. You can't expect me to keep this deed handy forever. And time passed, it got lost, I don't know where it is now. That doesn't make it not mine. So will that argument hold water? Well, Chazal say it will hold water, but only after enough time has passed. After enough time has passed, it's reasonable to say, well, I just lost it because it's been too long and I didn't keep it carefully. Can't expect me to keep it forever. And the topic of our Mishnah here, Mishnah Aleph, will be how much time has to pass. Okay? Because if enough time has passed, you know, and the current owner says, listen, I've lost my deed, and he'll turn back and he'll say to the original marakama, the previous owner, say, listen, if this really is your field, where have you been all these years? How come you didn't come sooner? Okay? So that will be the repartee, that's the give and take. If the in the early years, the Marakama, the original owner, claims the field back, the piece of property back, the house back. Then the current machzik, the current tenant, will have to prove that it's his by virtue of some sort of deed of purchase, a deed. But after enough time has passed, the pendulum swings the other way, and the current tenant will say, I don't know where my deed is anymore, I lost it, I'm sorry, but where you've been all these years, how come you didn't complain before? Obviously, you know full well that you sold it to me in the past. Okay? So, to establish a chazaka, presumptive ownership, on a piece of real estate, so there are really two factors that have to come into play. One is, you have to have been there long enough without the Marakama having complained, raised a concern, objected to you being there, either directly to you or to the Bezdin or to even the third party, then the word would come around to you, oh, my ownership is contested, I better keep my deed safe to find it in court. The second issue, however, is that the Marakama has to have been aware that you're squatting there, the Machzik is squatting there, to raise the issue. If the Machzik, the current tenant, says to the Marakama, where have you been all these years? And the Marakama says, yeah, I've been fighting a war in Afghanistan for 6 years. Of course, I had no idea you were squatting in my field. I've come back and I find you here. What do you want from me? So that would also be a reasonable response in terms of the Marakama, because he couldn't object because he wasn't around to object. He didn't know that there was someone squatting there. So the second Mishnah of the Perek will discuss the parameters of the knowledge and the possibility of objecting in terms of the Marakama. But here our first Mishnah here talks about how long can the machzik, the current tenant, live on this property before he can no longer be expected to be saving the deed to prove that he purchased it. So the Mishnah says inside, Cheskas hab. Okay, now the first cases of the Mishnah, I should say, are talking about how long you have to be machzik, holding on to, being present, squatting, whatever it is, of a piece of property. And the properties, these are all types of property which are providing value all year round. Okay? So, for example, Cheskas Abatim, to establish presumptive ownership over a home. People live in a home 365 days a year. There's rent paid every day. It's a benefit to be living there. Vahaboros, Vashichin, Vahamaaros. A bor, a shiach, and a ma'ara is like a cistern for storing water. The bor is round. The shiach is long and skinny, like a ditch. The ma'ara is like a cave. It's like square with a roof on top, but it's for just a cistern for storing water. Again, the point is people draw water from the cistern all year long. Vahashovachos, a dovecote, where they raise pigeons and doves. Again, they're being used all year long for the fertilizer, for the animals, for the eggs, and so on. Vahamerchatzaos, bathhouses, public bathhouses that would like be rented out or something, whatever the story is, or private use of that matter. The point is it's used all the time, every day, people take baths there. Vabes habadin, a press. This a base habad really is an olive press. It's a bit of a question, why would an olive press be used all year round? Because usually once you finish the olive harvest, which happens one time a year in the summer, then everyone presses their olives, they get their olive oil, and then it would sort of lay dormant the other half of the year. So part of the answer might be that people do, for economic reasons, you know, wait and hold their olives until they can press them later cheaper, renting someone else's press or something, so it is used a little more. And also, the presses would be used for other kinds of materials as well. Besides for olive oil, you also want to press, you know, walnut oil and sesame seed oil, etc. And those nut and seed oils, the nuts and seeds can stay on the shelf, you know, all year round, so they can be used throughout the year. So the point is the presses are rented out and used throughout the year, and that's the point of the Beis Chabad, meaning in contrast, you don't see mentioned here a wine press, because you're really treading on the wine, the grapes, and collecting the wine. That's like sort of a once-a-year type activity, okay? Ubeis HaShlachin. Beis HaShlachin is an irrigated field. That means a field that sort of has a water source to it, like a spring or its sprinkler system, so to speak, human sprinkler system, whatever it is. So because of that, and it can grow things all year round. In contrast, the Beis Habal, we'll see later, like a field which relies on rainwater, so obviously when there's not rain coming for half the year, so then it's going to dry up. Vahavadim. Avadim are slaves, of course. Now, slaves aren't really land, aren't really a chattel, they're not land either. There's something in the middle. Okay, now in many contexts, for like exegetical reasons, like there's a hekesh that connects slaves to land. It's not exactly what's happening here. It's true that the way in which one is kona, one acquires a slave, is like a field, in contrast to, say, a metalton, like a movable object. But the issue here is that since slaves move on their own, the claim of, well, what's your stuff doing in my physical possession, is not really legitimate when it comes to slaves, because the answer could be, Yeah, because my slave is hiding out in your basement. That's how I ended up in your possession. So therefore, anything which moves on its own, which has the status, the technical term for that is called godro, so it means like flocks, because it would apply also to like a flock of sheep, as it would be to a human slave, etc. These things are on the move, and therefore a possible explanation how the current machzik has it is because, yeah, the bees just flew to another, to my house, and now I'm keeping them. My bees flew to your house, and now they're making a hive over in your property. It doesn't mean like yours just because they flew to you. And same with the slave. Just because you have my slave physically doesn't mean it's not mine anymore. He ran to you. So therefore, a person, when you acquire slaves, that transaction does happen with a contract typically. There's a deed of sale, and therefore the person's expected to have a deed to confirm that the slave belongs to him. The slaves, of course, produce every day, so therefore that's a three-year thing every day. V'chol shehu osa peros tadir, and really anything which provides value throughout the year. So we could say like commercial real estate, a storefront that you rent out, a chatzer you use for, you know, making stuff, whatever the story is, all those things, chezkasan shalosh shanim yom liyom. To establish a chazaka, to become the presumptive owner, you have to be machzik, you have to be making use of it, being present, exploiting this resource for 3 years, miyom liyom, meaning 3 full years, day to day, from the 17th of Cheshvan to the 17th of Cheshvan, or whatever the story is, okay, 3 years on the calendar. Now, that's true because they're used all day, every day, or whatever, regularly throughout the year. But a stay ha-ba'al, if you're talking about a field which doesn't get irrigated, just relies on rainwater, so therefore it can produce crops every year, but not throughout the year, because once it stops raining, it dries up. So then, chezkasa shalosh shanim, it's also a three-year process to establish a chazaka, become the presumptive owner, but the eino miyom liyom, but those 3 years are not 3 years from day to day, like the full 3 years. Now, how much is therefore not a full 3 years, quote unquote? Well, it's machlokas tanai. So Rabbi Yishmael Omer, shlosha chadashim berishona ushlosha ba'achrona ushneim asar chodesh ba'emtza. He says it's three, I'll call it calendar years, but not full years, because if you make use of the field for the last three months of the year, of year one, and then you have the whole of year two, and then the first 3 months of year three, getting three separate crops, that's three crops that you need to establish a chazaka. Now, these are crops, a regular grain crop or like a legume kidneys crop, it's a proper crop and takes 3 months for them to grow. So he did it. He basically did three crops over 3 years, and the rest of the first part of year one and the last part of year three aren't consequential because he's not using them anyways during that year. So there's no reason to assume that the Marakama should come and complain now. Rabbi Kiva is more lenient. Rabbi Kiva Omer Chodesh Barishona V'Chodesh Ba'achrona Shnei Masar Chodesh Ba'emtza. He says even just 1 month at the last month of year one, the whole of year two, and the last month of year three, meaning Harei Arba Asar Chodesh, that just adds up to 14 months, 12 plus 1 plus 1. Is enough, says Rabbi Kiva, because you don't have to do like in the years one and year three cultivating a massive generic crop that takes 3 months, like to grain to wheat or barley or something. You could do a crop that grows very fast, like vegetables or even like wheatgrass, you know, to make fodder to feed animals. In 1 month, the wheatgrass can grow, you can harvest it. And again, that's like using it three times and no one complained. So now the burden of proof is another way. Whereas the Marakama, when he watched you harvesting, you know, your wheatgrass on his field for the third time, if it really was his field. I'm Rabbi Yishmol. Rabbi Yishmol even goes further. He says, "B'medav amorim, that's b'stei lavan." We're talking about a field that's an open field that you grow stuff like on the ground, like grain and the like. Aval b'stei ilan, if you're talking about an orchard with trees in it, so then it's even possible to have the whole chazaka happen in one calendar year because you have three separate crops, three separate harvests. Because if kanas es tivuaso, if the machzik, the current tenant, brings in his tivuaso here means his grape harvest, like it's referred to also, you can see other use of that in the Pesukim, like in the Devarim, when it talks about Kilayim, for Kilay HaKerem, it refers to grapes as Tevua, Tevuas HaKerem, and Masak es Zesav, and then he harvests his olives, and then Makanas es Ketzo, he harvests his figs, so three separate harvests that have been done on this large orchard. And all three harvests happen, and all three times the Marakama never made a peep. So says Rabbi Yishmol, Hare Elu Shalosh Shanim. That's the legal equivalent of three calendar years, because it's like three times he went through the process of harvesting, and three times there was no complaint, no objection raised from the Marakama. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yishmol, the current tenant, the machzik, can tie in and say, listen, I thought there was no one complaining, everyone's cool, and therefore I just lost my deed, I'm sorry. Okay, the halacha doesn't follow really either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva. Follows the chacham, who basically reject these svaras altogether, and to keep it simple, say you need 3 calendar years across the board, 3 full calendar years for all types of fields, and the like, all kind of real assets, whether they are used throughout the year or if they're used only for part of the year. At all events, after 3 full calendar years, like on the completion of the 3rd anniversary of the machzik moving in, at that point, the burden of proof, he becomes the muchzak, and the burden of proof now goes to the marakama to explain why he didn't raise an objection before.